Salsa loves to talk about food.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, well, because it's called salsa. It's like salsa. Put on the food.
Literally, like every artist has a song that has to do with food.
It's like, look, I'm gonna make you dance and I'm gonna make you
hungry.
I feel like that's, but you know what though? That's a representation. It's the same with the music. Every single instrument is a vegetable. And when you all cook it together, when everybody, when we're all vibing, when the campana's coming in and we're all doing what they call la moña, which is like horns going this way, horns going that way, rhythms going this way. And, you know, you'll hear it, man. Ana Baco, and he's like singing song. That is like the full on dish. And you're like,
chupándote los dedos and expressing
yourself. Yeah, picadillo and the rice. And it's the same with the music, man. When it's cooked well.
Oh, that heat in there, yeah.
It's like delicious. You can't even, yeah, bro.
That was
so
great.
So yeah, that's for real, disco. For real. There's a movie where he's teaching them the clave, and he's teaching them like, okay, this is a wawanko, and how to, you know, and then if you're doing maracas, you know, you how to do the maraca. Yeah, because then that's the thing about this kind of music. Like, it's heavily regimented in its patterns and rhythms. You can't mess up. You can't mess up. If you're playing cowbell, tienes que estar adelantado. You gotta be ahead. Like, you gotta keep it, you know what I'm saying? Para montarse el caballo. Because everybody is like, and everything's like, you know, I don't know. This is where I nerd out. That's why I got the records. I don't just listen to them and like, oh, yeah, it's a dance. Yeah, it's cool and it's nice, but I nerd out. Like,
there we go. Well, shit, I don't know if there's any better way to get this episode started than that. With that being said,
coming in hot, bro.
We need to do our traditional cheers, our next spin cheers, to kick off the night and kick
sponsored
off the podcast.
By Blue Moon tonight.
Sponsored by Blue Moon today, apparently.
And Coca-Cola.
Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Blue Moon.
All right, let's go and get this thing started. Yo, Spinheads, welcome back to another episode of the Next Spin Podcast. This is episode 10, and to any new listeners joining us for the first time, yo, welcome to the club. A pleasure to have you. If you haven't heard our interview with one of the top DJs in the city, DJ Mass Appeal, check out our previous episode to hear about his journey leaving the boardroom to go full-time with music and the lessons that came with it. That's the last episode we dropped. But since we're doing introductions, my name is Botter, and I'll be your host today, and I'm joined by the rest of the Next Spin crew, which includes the Don himself, Mr. Adrian Ross, on mic number 2. He's sharing a mic with us.
Hello.
He's sharing a mic with Freddie, so it's going a little slow. You know the transfer. But on mic number 3 is the host of Flow 105.3's morning show, Miss Janira Cordona. Hey.
Hey, everyone. I got to charge y'all now extra.
Hey. You actually had to charge me on the pod now. And sharing a mic with Adrian is someone who could host his own Quiet Storm station. It's Mr. Freddie Douglas. He's here with us as well. Hey,
it's Federico.
Tonight. Federico.
Federico
today.
Federico.
Okay. Federico.
Like,
all right. Federico is here with us today. So we got the entire Next Spin crew alongside the mastermind behind it all, Mr. Tony Smilajic, snapping photos
in
the back.
Who tonight is Antonio?
Oh, yes, Antonio.
Antonio. Yes.
What about mine? What, can I get a sweet Latin name?
Damn. I don't know. Your name is already in Spanish. It can pass. Bader.
Ooh, yeah. All right, more R's.
Bader.
Got it.
The Latinization of a name.
There we go. All right. And you might have heard a
Benito. We could call you Benito.
I don't mind that. I'll take Benito.
Benito.
Benito. Arturo. Adrian is cool.
Adrian. Yeah. Adrian is interesting.
Yo, you already got
the... You
want to do it all? Hold on.
If you don't know Adrian is Panamanian, exactly. Y'all.
We'll get into
I was going to have a Panamanian going to complain about that happening. Anyways, you might have heard a new voice already, Spinheads, and that's because in true Next Spin fashion, we've got another dope DJ and music guest joining us this episode. You'll hear from him in just a second. I'll give the formal introduction. But I want to introduce the theme for this episode first and let Yaya set the stage for the rest of the show. Yaya, how about you go ahead and tell us, what's the theme for tonight? This is our first vinyl meetup of the year, for the record.
Yes.
How are we kicking it off?
And we're going to kick it off with salsa. Salsa. Do you guys know when band leaders started their songs, they would always shout salsa, and it was like a way for people to get hype, and like they knew like this is the one to dance to. And so no one knows where the word really came from, but they just kind of credit it to band leaders like shouting it out, and salsa was born. Why did I choose this theme? Because I am a salsera and this genre is dying, sadly. It's a genre that, you know, has brought so much life and has inspired so many other genres of music, and it is dying. Like, even finding history on it, good documentaries, is kind of hard. There are some, obviously, but there's not, like, enough out there. Right now, we have very little legends that are still alive. Eddie Palermo is still alive. He's one of the ones that kind of formed salsa to what it is now. And, you know, Johnny Pacheco passed away, and he was the leader of La Fania. So, you know, I would love to see some more documentaries on it. So instead, we're going to honor them today. And we're going to talk about their history and how did salsa become what it is.
Fantastic introduction. Thank you, Yaya. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah.
And Spin has one more thing to mention before we get into the main event. Make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram. All right. We got Instagram at NextSpin. That's with two X's. You can see pictures, X. And you can see pictures and videos from this meetup, the same ones that Mr. Tony Smilajic is snapping away right now. With that out the way, I'd like to introduce our esteemed guest this episode. Spinheads, he's an accomplished percussionist, producer, and DJ, and he hosts the vinyl-themed weekly event, Wax and Whiskey, which take place every Wednesday at Headroom Coffee Bar here in Jacksonville, Florida. Close friends and family call him Dorian, but everyone else likes to call him Poppy. Spinheads, it's my honor to welcome DJ Poppy Disco to the show.
Yo, Dorian, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dorian, the first time I met you, you embraced me with so much love. It was down there at the St. Augustine Vinyl Fair. And you brought me in real close for a hug and a dap. And then you whispered in my ear with that grizzly man beard of yours, "Yo, bro, put me on the show." And I told you I'd make it happen. And here you are, my friend.
I appreciate you.
I wanted him as my guest.
For sure. She's been talking about it for a minute
now. From the get-go.
Oh, man, y'all making me blush.
Tony was fighting me for you, and I was like, no, he's mine.
Well, yeah, I want to hear in your words, why did you feel Dorian was the perfect guest for the theme tonight?
Just because I feel he understands the genre. He knows how to mix like salsa and jazz. And he doesn't play your traditional salsa records that you do hear on the radio or in the clubs. Like he's actually introducing not just Hispanics, but Americans to other songs that even myself, I'm like, oh, damn, Dorian, who is this? Like, what group is this? Or what song is this? And it just fascinates me when a DJ does that, you know, can introduce. I feel like that's what DJs should do. You know, besides play music to please the crowd, I feel like you should also introduce us to new music and keep like old music alive. And Dorian, I mean, his name, DJ Poppy Disco, like, you know, says it alone. Dorian does a great job keeping the history and the genre alive and getting people hype into it. And he's just such a good mixer. He knows how to mix salsa with cumbia, which is similar. We're going to talk about that. And salsa with hip hop or salsa with jazz. And I think he's just perfect to bring on here and talk about it.
Well said. And I will co-sign that ability that you just highlighted, Yaya, in the sense that a good DJ should introduce, you know, the audience to new music if possible. And I will say, when you, Dorian, when you were spinning at Mass's Vinyl Fair, shout outs to DJ Mass Appeal, you spun for about an hour, and I think I left with like 30 new Shazam entries because all the music we're playing was fantastic.
And that was my first time seeing you spin, to be honest, at the vinyl fair. And I was like, yeah, I've got to leave here with some records. Like, you know, it was so dope. Like, so appreciate you.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, man.
I remember. I don't remember exactly how we met. I know we met somehow, some way, but I do remember
when
we
floor.
Went to his house in St. Augustine, and Tony, Freddie, and I went out there. And he was like just so amazing. When we went into his house, I was like, damn, like it was records on records on records. And he has of all genres, of course. And he was just like, oh, you guys, check this out and check this out. Oh my God, this. Yeah. And so
I get excited to share music.
Yeah.
Like that's all I want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and we feel it. And he plays a vinyl, yeah. And then he gets on his congas and he starts playing his conga with the music. Oh, yeah. It's a whole vibe.
I nerd out. If you let me nerd out, I go head first on nerding out when it comes to music. Like, because I want to, you know, I live it. Like, I eat it, I breathe it. All that. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. I don't know. It's just, I like digging. I like digging for that. I don't, for what I like, you know?
Well, don't worry. Let's spend some time on you real quick before we get into the main event and stuff. Your bio says you're Los Angeles born, and of course, you know, now you're Florida based. Can you tell us what brought you to Florida?
Crazy story. So, like, in late 99, like December, last week of December of 99, I was hitchhiking and traveling through the country, hopping trains. I was homeless, living in abandoned buildings with punk rockers in L.A., and I just got tired of living in, I'm from East LA, I'm from Lincoln Heights, Boyle Heights. It's like El Barrio, you know, like real gang shit. Not as much anymore, but since gentrification and all, but
since you left and everything, you
got. But when I left, it was real, like, yeah, you know, like, hey, what's up, Holmes? Well, you know, what you say, where you from, ese, you know, hey, vato, like, oh shit, like, it's real. And if it ain't a Mexican gang, it's a Salvadoran gang. And if it's not a Salvadoran gang, it's a Guatemalans. And it's not Guatemalans, it's just a gang in every fucking street.
Gang.
Sorry for spewing my. Can I curse on this?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Have you met?
Sorry,
dog. Have you met the cast?
I was like,
have you met Freddy?
Okay.
Fuck out of here. All right. But fuck yeah, dog. Woo, I was starting to sweat. But as I ended up, like, I was gonna like go to New Orleans with some friends, and then the plan was to go to Athens, Georgia, then leave Athens, and then go to Asheville, and then we were gonna hop on a boat to New York and see where we ended up, somewhere in like Europe or Africa or somewhere out there, just because la locura, you know, I didn't have nothing to lose. It was, you know, I didn't have no guardians, no parents, nothing. I was just on the streets panhandling or cleaning people's like establishments, bringing in chairs and, you know, to get pizza and some money and stuff and take it back to my crew. And that was, and so I hitchhiked all the way out here, like, from LA. So that's how I got here. Uh-huh. If you want to keep me, you know, 100, ask Shelton Hall. He knows.
Okay.
I panhandled from him when I was in Five Points. I was in Riverside, and he had a Rollins Band t-shirt. And I was like in front of Peaks Italian, which is now Biggie's. And I was like, yo, that's a dope shirt, dude. What's up? You got 50 cents? Like, I was trying to, you know. He was like, no, I think he did give me a dollar or something. And he was cool with me.
He would.
But that was like back then. But yeah, that's how I got here. So I was just traveling. You know, I got kicked out of Birmingham, Alabama because was smoking weed like next to like some attorney's office and with some other hippie guys, and they like were like with guns and shit on a Sunday. I'm like, oh, you're gonna stick me
on the Lord's Day?
On the Lord's Day. I'm like, dude, we're just smoking weed.
So how did music come into your life? Like, were you DJing at any point in between all the like that journey or?
No, but I used to go to drum circles in Venice Beach and play with like the Africans and some of the Latinos. Anything musically involved has always been like that I've done in life has always been around. Like when I was a kid, I used to play drums in church. You know, so if you're Latino and you go to like a Christian church, a Baptist church or whatever, you know, the songs are alabare, alabare, alabare.
Yo, that was my song. Yo, my mom used to smack me on the side of my head when I used to go in church and dance hard on that song.
And you see, like, in the congregation with tambourines and stuff. But we'd always have some congas.
Mm-hmm. Bongos.
A bongo or a campana or maracas. Yep. So in the Latin church, we've always had, like, percussive instruments or interpretations of the songs, like latified. So there was a time where I lived in Mexico because that's where my parents are from. And so like cumbia is like an Afro-Colombian beat. And some of the songs would be in cumbia style. So to kick it, 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 kick it. And so the same songs, but we'd have that.
Which was inspired by salsa.
So it's always been like in like our, I don't know, in our everyday. It's not just like music to us. It's like a lifestyle. Whether it's church, growing up, I mean, my dad was a rocker, but he was into Santana. And Santana interpreted it like Tito Puente. So it's, you know what I mean? And that's when I was like 3 years old growing up.
So it's always been
yeah, like slamming the brew and already like listening to Santana. Like, because, you know, so, yeah.
So how would you describe your style of music and DJing? Like, well, what are some of the influences that have impacted you?
Oh, man.
Because I know, like, when I think of some of the genres of music that you evoke, and Yanira has probably has brought up some of these, but, you know, your style, I'm sorry, some of the music you play range from, like, soul, jazz, a lot of Afrobeat, there's hip-hop elements, house, and global. But I want to hear, in your words, like, how would you describe your style?
I mean, when I got into DJing, it was because I was into, like, I was making beats before I was a DJ. I wanted to learn how to DJ because I just, it looked cool from a b-boy perspective. I like the whole breakdance thing ever since I was a kid. You know, we just grew up with it, like, you know, just, you know, Africa Bambaataa and freestyle music and electro. And, but,
you're out there spinning on your head and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Before I gained these 40 pounds that I got, yeah, I used to be able to do that. But
he's spinning.
I got a B-boy tattooed
on
me. Look, I got a B-boy tattoo, bro.
Hey, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
With shell toes and everything. Like, yeah. I everything that I do has a B-boy aesthetic. And whether it's salsa, whether it's
the glasses you got right now, got a little b-boy
stuff. I mean everything, bro.
I feel like
the Kangol. You got a Kangol too.
Yeah, I mean, straight hip hop. I see the hip hop.
Pumas,
in you, bro.
Look at the
true,
look at the
true,
Pumas.
Straight hip hop. I didn't even catch it.
Yeah, I'll always have a little bit of b-boy.
Yeah.
And so to me, when it comes to like salsa music, it's the breaks, right? There's some Roberto Roena has a song that it starts like a funk track and then it goes into salsa. Que se sepa, la 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 la. But it starts with a bing bing, bam ba dum bam bum bum bum. And it has like a b-boy thing. So I was into like finding those breaks. After I got my life together, I started buying drum machines and like computers. And I would sample the drum breaks into making them into beats. So I would come up with my kick, my drum, my snare, my hi-hats. But then to fill the gaps, I'd be like,
you have made three beats on this show so far. Like full on beats.
Yeah. You know? Oh man.
Like original beats.
It's unlimited, bro. It's unlimited, bro. Creativity does not stop.
It oozes out of you. Yeah.
That's me, man. Nighttime.
That's awesome, bro.
I'll be snoring and making
like a Dilla beat.
That is funny.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny.
But so everything started with the hip hop stuff, right? When I got it to DJing, I got all of the records that I was sampling, whether it was Bill Withers, Herbie Hancock, whether it was some of the jazz stuff had Ray Barreto playing congas and stuff like that. And so all of these things, I guess, all happened at once at a party that my boy Billy and my garage fam in St. Augustine, we started a party and they were into like house music. But I was into called Rare Groove. And Rare Groove is like a thing where it's like soul, R&B, Afro funk, all these different things. And rare because you got to, you know, dig and excavate, right? And so what ended up happening was instead of like saying, oh, I'm going to just chop this record and sample it and then, you know, sell it on a thrift store or whatever, or just, you know, sell it, I got into DJing them. So my first one was two of them. It was the Meters Chicken Strut. down, down. It's like a funky da down, 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 da 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 da.
Super well known.
You know, so Chicken Strut, and then Mongo Santa Maria's cover of The Temptations, Cloud Nine.
Oh, nice.
If you hear that one, that one inspired me. And believe it or not, there was a Rage Against the Machine song. It was called Renegades of Funk. They covered it. It was a, I think it was an African Bambaataa track, but they covered it. And the band was from LA, and I saw them play. It was called Ozomatli. And they had this part where they had congas and timbales and cowbells, and they were doing like some Afro-Cuban stuff. Yo, I never forgot about that. So all those things got me into DJing. Hmm. And I was like, okay, anything that has a break, I can mix. Anything that I, you know, and so I listened to a shaker or a kick or a snare, and I started to like, and everything was vinyl at first. And so I used to have to count the old school way. One and two, and look at my watch, and oh, it's 100 beats per minute. Get a piece of tape and write it down and be like, that's
crazy.
Yeah, it was just very
time consuming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But DJing at this warehouse party, I didn't know how to DJ, but my peoples at that time were like, hey, listen to that snare, or try to make it where that groove fits in and it feels good. If it feels good, that's the important part. If it feels good, I don't care what music it is, if it feels good, play it. So I was mixing in, like I said, the meters. And then when I dropped that Mongo Santa Maria track, I made so many people dance. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa, that's I'm doing this. Like, playing this music.
You got powered up by that, right?
Yo, baby powder on the dance floor. People doing capoeira, break dancing, bro. Cool. I was like, and it's like such a long song, but it's the most funkiest. I'm telling you, it changed my life, bro. And then I got into the dance music stuff because Patrick Evans, brother Patrick, he's a vocalist here in town that sang with Mariah Carey's background singers back in the day. And one day he came to my crib, and I was doing neo soul music because I had work with like the I Give, this other dude, Cuban. Was like Ill Clinton, Joey Dennis.
Yeah, so you fell into a crate, like a
yeah. I was working doing neo soul beats, in with the spoken word community out here, and I was like chopping Fender Rhodes and soul music, and I was playing congas already, but I was like trying to infuse some of that, you know, percussion work in with that, and it ended up like I ended up making a remix, like a house remix of something soulful because I needed something percussive, but still soulful. And I found out about a guy named Ozunlade or Oshunlade, and he makes that kind of music. And I got into that kind of like style of house music. So I mixed like the rare groove and like the funk and the soul and the Afro stuff mixed with the house music. And that's how I got into DJing. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but like...
And it doesn't, but when you hear it, it makes sense. But it doesn't. Yeah. Like, if you think about it, you're like, what?
You're like, what? How do you mix it? Yeah, like, how would you mix...
Because fucking salsa and jazz, that makes sense, right? But then when he adds, like, house and, like,
it
other elements...
It all has the clave, though.
Yeah.
It all has the... Pa, 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 do, pa, 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 kiki, pa, do, pa, pa, kum, pa, pa, king, pa, da, pa, pa, king. You know what I'm saying? Uh-oh. And yeah, you know, and you start feeling the orichas, you know what I'm saying? You start feeling the spirit, you know.
Well, I mean, that's how salsa started. If we think about how the genre of salsa, when it started, salsa originally came from, it's called Son de Cuba, right? And it started in the early 1900s, and it came from like the like small towns of Cuba, and then in the 1920s is when it made its way to like Havana. And it was a mix of traditional African like ritual songs and religious songs, and that's what their songs were first, which is kind of like what Puerto Rico Bomba y Plena is too. And from there they just kind of added the jazz element into it, so then jazz got combined into it. And then that's when it became huge in the 1920s in Cuba, especially 1940s. Tropicana, which is still huge in Cuba, if you go out there. And Cuban artists till this day are probably one of the best like artists in the world, like musicians, I'm sorry, musicians, like, because they really study it. Like, to them is a real profession. Like, if you have that talent as a child, you get selected to the special school, and that's what you are in Cuba. If you are a trumpet player, that's what you're going to be. Like, that's how it is over there. And that's how it was in that time. And so salsa became a huge thing. And then obviously Fidel Castro came through. You guys know what happened with the revolution over there. They kicked out the Americans, and Americans love salsa. I mean, you guys see the old movies like Dirty Dancing.
All the Havana clubs.
You know, exactly. But they loved it. And then when Fidel closed Cuba to America, the New Yorkers, the Puerto Ricans in New York picked it up. So then Tito Rodriguez picked it up. Tito Puente, which, by the way, they were rivals. Hmm. They worked in the same club. And they were band leaders, and they played the same instruments, but they hated each other. So I think that's pretty cool.
That would have been so
cool. That would have been so cool.
And the Puerto Ricans in New York were infusing their own like jazz and soul and stuff they were listening to, right?
That's because that's more in the Fania era. In the 1940s and 50s, it was still like it was a mix of Cubans and Puerto Ricans playing together in New York. Like, because all of them, obviously the Puerto Ricans, like Tito Puente and them, came from the island.
Yeah, it was like swing music.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's to me.
And then mambo, I mean, yeah. Mambo was huge, which is very similar. Yeah. People think mambo and salsa are the same, but they're not. You can hear the difference, but. Yeah.
It's all Cuban music. Straight up, it's all the roots from Cuba, straight up. I mean, if you really want to get technical with it, some of it even goes out to like Haiti. Like, they get some of them Haitian rhythms. Stuff like not Mozambique, but like the mambo rhythms and all that. That got brought over to Cuba because it's kind of close. Yeah. Haiti and Cuba are close.
Well, we had an episode of the African diaspora. Like, really, the drums come, the drum patterns come from Africa.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why they always say Afro-Cuban, because it came from, like, the drums straight up, the drum patterns come from Africa. Like, and the Cubans and everybody, we accept it. We know that. We just ended up adding our own little elements to it, obviously. In the 1940s and 50s is when salsa really took off. You had a whole bunch of jazz bars and clubs and all that. La Lupe was Tito Puente's artist, and then Celia Cruz came on scene. And then in the 60s and 70s, that's when La Fania came out and really turned salsa to what it is now. The salsa that we know, the international salsa. And what people don't know about it is that La Fania wasn't just Hispanics. It was Blacks and Italians. Like
Jewish people.
Yeah. And it was a mix. You know what I'm saying? Johnny Pacheco was Dominican. And you had Cubans and Puerto Ricans. So it was a beautiful mixture and then La Fania started kind of adding that like funk element into it. And so one of the records I'm going to hear, you're going to really hear the influence of. And that's why like hip hop, you know, hip hop is born in New York with Puerto Ricans and Blacks because, again, of that salsa funk that you hear. And especially if you guys seen that documentary that came out recently on Hulu, the one of the music, the one, the Black Woodstock.
Summer of Soul.
Summer of Soul.
Rey Barreto was on there, you know, like. Rey Barreto was on there, and he talks about the elements of how like African music came out. So, you know, it's interesting to see the genre of how it went in the 60s and 70s. And then the 80s, La Salsa Romantica was born, you know, when the Puerto Ricans kind of added their love ballads to it. So then salsa became not so like, dun-tuk-a-dun-tuk, and now it's a little bit softer, a little bit more romantic. And so it's fun to see the way the genre is going now.
And that was probably the most eye-opening thing as far as like me doing my, because I mean, obviously, you know, my knowledge of salsa pales in comparison to what Yaya shared. Which,
see, I'm real quiet.
Yeah. Today's wall is being held
soaking
up.
Like, it.
But I was very interested, and you guys know me. I get into like the weeds of things, right? So I definitely did some research, and I mean, honestly, everything Yaya you shared, I'm letting listeners know. You don't even need to go to the Salsa Wikipedia. Yaya basically gave you all of that. But the most interesting thing to me was my perception, or my original perception of salsa was big band orchestra, fast swing, you know, like what you said, kind of like more of the swing music.
Right. I didn't think, I was looking at my collection like, well, damn, I don't know if, you know, this other Fania record I got counts as salsa because it's more like jazz. But then the more I ended up, you know, learning about salsa, it kind of comes down to what you were saying is like, it's got so many variations and styles. And it almost sounds like as the years progressed, I won't say that it watered down, but it sounds like it just kind of like transformed. You know, it got maybe a little lighter, slower.
I was trying to
slower.
Keep it with the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It became Latin jazz. I mean, that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and that was something yes, that, that I ended absolutely. Up learning was sometimes Latin jazz is synonymous, or the phrases salsa and Latin jazz can be synonymous, much like musica tropicana. Is that what it is?
What?
The genre, musical tropicana?
Accent butter? Okay.
It just threw all the
Yeah. I said it wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Musica tropical? Okay.
No, no.
I'm
hold
here
hold
for
up.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Musica tropical. Tropical, right?
Right. You got it.
You did good. You did good.
Even if you say it like that, so look at if you say musica tropical, right? If you, they're selling the music under that
yes, okay.
label. So salsa, like in the great Tito Puente said, he said it. Salsa is not a music. It's what I put on my food.
Yes, okay? I seen that quote. He said, I'm a drummer, not a cook.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Like that.
So to me, and how I understand it is that salsa, they do salsa, they put salsa on the term to sell it. When you would go to a record shop, you can't be like, oh, that's pachanga, because that's huaracha, that's son montuno, that's guaguancó. I mean, I'm naming in a bolero, like I'm naming all these different styles of Cuban music
that falls under salsa.
Like for example, if I'm playing Dos Gardenias para mí, quiero decir te quiero, te adoro mi vida. That's a bolero. Kunkin, kunkin, tu pacata, kunkin. A salsa band will still play a bolero, right? It's part of the show, like you know the Tropicana. You know what I'm saying? It's a, you know, it's a performance. You can't just be hyped up on 103 beats per minute, 120.
Yeah. Ding, 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 you gotta slow it down. At some
yeah,
point.
You need to.
You gotta rest.
You need to give them a break so you get everybody. You know, ladies could get you know wipe the sweat off and put the makeup on, go to the bar, get your lady a drink, and all that jazz. You
well,
know what I'm saying?
Well, what you just brought up reminds me of our conversation about neo soul, where in some regard,
here comes bring
up Sade.
In some regard. Neo soul was a label used to sell the music or to categorize the music so consumers knew what they were buying, right?
Right, right.
Much like and that's something I found out for salsa was some observers I'm quoting from this article, but some observers perceived the word as a marketing term designed to superficially categorize music in a way that that appeals to non-aficionados. Essentially saying what you're saying.
You've got to be able to sell it.
Exactly. Salsa is a category that is sellable.
It's commoditized music, like a right. product. The basically, the labels try to come up with something that they could put forward to the public that they could recognize, right? It's all one thing.
Especially in the late 60s, there was a style of music, a broad record called Boogaloo.
Ooh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Boogaloo music,
Boogaloo.
You couldn't sell
baby.
It.
Oh, I love
like,
Boogaloo.
Like, I got this Boogaloo record here. And
which I'm also gonna credit that to La Fania for making that huge.
But like Boogaloo music, see, like Johnny Colon and his orchestra, right?
Hmm.
They were infusing like cha cha, like cha cha.
That's how it goes
for 80 bills.
he left the sticker on there to let us know.
Don't worry.
Like promoting it.
It's $80.
But no, because the music's first, man.
Sure.
But so the John, so something like this, right, would be, you know, Boogaloo isn't like salsa. It has an element of it where they bring cowbells, they bring the horns, but they sang like R&B vocals in English, you know? And then they would do stuff where it had like an R&B twist, but like Motown. But, you know, they had like the Motown vibe, but it was still with a bunch of Latinos. Right? Like Joe Bataan. A lot of people won't think Joe Bataan, Afro-Filipino, is a salsa record. But you would find it under there, under that salsa. If you go to a record shop, you'd be like, oh, or if you wouldn't go and be like, oh, I'm going to go to the Boogaloo section. There, it was no such thing. Because the same labels, Tico, Alegre, later on Fania, were putting the records out. like Jerry Masucci was still like, which is, you know, the him and Pacheco were the ones that were like, you know, marketing. They're marketing geniuses. So, but they had to figure out a way how to sell it. Yeah. You know, and then it was just a trend. And, you know, it was a, you know, same thing with like Ray Barreto Records. You were saying they got softer later in the like late 70s and the 80s and the 90s. You know, to keep it commercialized, some guys would do Salsa Romantica. Eddie Santiago, Gilberto Santa Rosa, you know what I'm saying?
Jerry Rivera.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, especially, you know. And so there was like all of these guys that wanted to keep the emphasis of salsa but had to make it commercial and sell it. Then you had the Latin jazz guys, Eddie Palmieri, Charlie, his brother, Charlie Palmieri, Ray Barreto, some of these other guys. And so you would still find it all in their salsa. They made it so they can sell it to you a certain way, because it wouldn't sell. They say, oh, well, that Buena Vista Social Club is under Cuban old world. School yeah. world. You know what I mean? Yeah, even world is right. is a way of selling it.
Exactly.
And like to me, the music, it all shares what I call the common denominator, la clave, the key. All of it, whether it's in 2-3 or 3-2, it all shares it, you know. And some of these guys broke out of the that system, Panameño, verdad?
Sí, señor.
So like there was a style of music called I think punta or something, right? Or and so like in Panama, there was this rhythm that Willy Colon put for like Cheche Cole, you know. And then chich, you know, vamos todos a bailar. It was a mixture between Panamanian rhythms and Ghanaian rhythms that stems back all the way to the, you know, to Africa, yeah. Brought to, you know what I'm saying, Panama. To the Americas. You
teach me, brother. Preach, brother.
Bro, I'm telling you, I got you. I got you, bro. I got you.
So it sounds like the big takeaway I'm going to take from this is that salsa has so many different variations.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I think I like exactly what you said, Yaya, is that it survived the times. Like, it had to survive the times, so it adapted. But it sounds like there is a lot of, like, the common denominators that still lives throughout all of these, like, subgenres.
Mm. Well, right now, it's unfortunately dying. Because no one, I remember when I was working for the record
label. Is there
label.
No current artists that
no,
are...
No new ones okay. right now. Like, I love LPT. Shout out to LPT. They're trying to keep it alive, you know what I mean? I call them the modern day Fania, which, by the way, Papi Disco is an honorary member of theirs. But it's a genre that's dying. And right now, because reggaeton is so huge, now reggaeton you can mix with bachata and you can mix with merengue. Which, you know, and now like pop and all that, but it's kind of hard to mix reggaeton with salsa. And salsa is not easy to dance to either. It's one of those things like either you know how to dance to or you don't. So it's a genre that unfortunately in the dance world is dying because people don't, unless you go into dance schools, you go to socials. Those are, you know, I love going to socials and you have a great time, but it's a genre that is dying right now. The only one that's really huge is obviously Marc Anthony. Everyone knows him. Victor Manuel hardly doesn't do anything anymore. Like, he hasn't put out anything new in a while. And everyone else is kind of just playing all their hits. You know, like, you're not hearing.
There's no new life.
There's not new. And there are bands out there. That's the sad part. There's a lot of talent out there. There's a lot of salseros out there that have it in the groups and all that. But record labels are not signing them because the records are not selling. Like, I remember when I was interning for UMG Latino, Universal Music Group Latino in Miami. I'm really good. You know, I'm still friends with the A&R Aldo. And I remember, like, people always be sending, like, CDs and music. And obviously someone would be salsa. And I'd be like, yo, Aldo, why don't we ever cater to the salsa music? You know, he's like, it's a genre that's dying. No one's, the music is not selling. People are not going to the concerts and all that. Like, the only one that's really going, like, selling out shows is Marc Anthony, because Marc Anthony has kept it still modern. If you listen to Marc Anthony's salsa, his salsa is not like your typical old school salsa. It's a lot more modern. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Like, you hear more bass in his salsa and all that. But it's hard to keep a genre alive that right now is reggaeton is so dominant right now, and Afro beats, and like you can't really combine it. So
I wonder if that's like the case, like in Guatemala, or like Mexico, or like in the countries where Latin music.
Well, Colombia, salsa is huge in Colombia, yeah. and every country has their own version of salsa too. Like, for example, when salsa left Cuba and went to Mexico, that's how like it really influenced cumbia, and that's why when you hear cumbia, it kind of has that and you can dance kind of salsa to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like obviously, like Venezuela is still huge. Colombia is still huge. Puerto Rico, it's, you can hear the old school. Like, you don't have any new artists going out there because reggaeton, again, is dominating. I'm sure if you go to Cuba, I'm sure they're still, you know, killing the salsa world. But everywhere
and,
else...
And like, in America, I guess, is where salsa is just not taking off.
It's not... I mean, it took off, and now it's like the original... One of the original salsa clubs in New York closed down, like, 5 or 6 years ago. Wow. You know what I mean? Like... Yeah. And I was so sad because it was on my bucket list.
So I was curious what would pop up when I Googled salsa and I looked in the news section. I wanted to see if there was any recent articles or docs or something related to salsa in the most recent like piece of news. And the only thing I kept seeing was, and I added it to the outline. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at that Vox article, but it was talking about how that we don't talk about Bruno, you know, the song, yeah. It's Encanto. Right,
yeah, Santo? But that's, I mean, Lin-Manuel, Miranda, well, I don't know why I would say Rivera, I don't know why. Lin-Manuel Miranda,
don't worry, I'm glad Tony
he's
said it.
He's a Broadway, yep. And he's extra Puerto Rican from New York. His dad was an activist, and his dad obviously was huge into music, and so he is trying to keep it. He's actually trying to do some documentaries, I'll give him credit on that. But I mean,
but do you think like this particular song, you know, it showed up a lot, you know, we don't talk about Bruno, right? They're saying, hey, it's got elements of salsa. Mm-hmm. It's a big sensation across TikTok. I think it beat out Let It
Frozen,
Go.
Yeah,
Frozen.
It's the number one recently. Song for Disney the streaming world.
Exactly. So it's huge, right? And, you know, I guess it's got elements of salsa that you could say, hey, yeah, it's kind of a salsa song. But do you feel like that is promising? I mean, I know it's probably way commercialized and it doesn't probably stick to the real spirit, but do you look at that and say, well, at least it's something, or do you feel like, nah, that's not the right representation?
It is something. Do I think it's going to make like a huge impact? No, but it is something. Because people still like it. I mean, look when Carlos Santana did the song with, oh my God, what's that band? The Maria.
With Wyclef and
Matchbox 20?
Yeah, Matchbox 20, that song.
Rob
Thomas, yeah.
Matchbox 20.
I forget what that song is.
Good guess.
Like, because it has those elements. Mm. I think, you know, it'll stick for a little bit, but it's not going to be like something where people are going to be like, oh, well, let's see what else is in this genre.
It just
needs
to be in the clubs. I think salsa, salsa dura, that's what I'm into. Salsa dura, hard salsa, not jazz. So what's happened is a lot of the salsa performers, these bands, a lot of them come from the universities. I mean, to be able to play a trombone or a trumpet, and you got to be educated. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't, you got to get your chops, you got to get your education in playing your instrument, right? And then also you got to form and practice it. And then put it out into a club. Yeah. Reggaeton is big because it's just like hip hop. You just get a drum machine,
mass produced,
or an Ableton, or whatever you work with.
That's how you good,
you know. And then you just and do your thing, and then and then it goes into clubs. There's a hit, and then the hit goes into the club.
Got it.
And then it sells, and it gets commercialized, and then people.
It can't be easily manufactured. What you're saying, like there is a very high level of skill. And the barrier of entry is very high.
And it's expensive. Absolutely. Like even from someone that puts on events and hires bands, like it's expensive to hire these salsa bands because they're full-on bands and orchestras,
piece.
You know?
A 10-piece.
Now, that's also that's why also salsa started dying down, because when in the 80s, stuff started being more electronic and they were like, well, wait, it's cheaper to have a fake violin sound or a fake drum sound or like a fake piano sound, like whatever. They started, you know, taking away those elements. Yeah, and unfortunately,
couldn't do a song like Héctor Lavoe, Todo Tiene Su Final, and it has all these string arrangements and stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Real lush and real big. Back in those times, you would have to get like a 15, 20-piece symphony and a conductor. in a separate room to record all those strings and then overdub whatever parts. It's an expensive process, man.
It is.
So it's also, it seems like it's like a victim of technology.
Yes and no. I feel like the only way to keep it alive, and I'm part of it, because I don't talk my shit. I be about my shit.
Go ahead. That's what
I be about my shit.
Talk about it, son.
Is like everybody put in their efforts together. Because when I play, for example, with the LPT guys, and we're 10 of us, right? And you we got amazing trumpet players, amazing horn. Yeah, everything. Everybody in the group is badass at what they do. And they get offered to get paid gigs in other spots for more. I know, because I'm one of them. But it sometimes it takes sacrifice. It takes their, you know, and a leader, you know, shout out to Josue, because Josue holds us down, you know what I'm saying, with voicing us out and being the agent and manager and working the way. But it takes a tribe. It takes everybody to say, okay, we're going to make it to rehearsal and shed. Like, you know, there's a word called shedding, and everybody working on their parts on their own and then coming back and just, racata, you know, con la mandinga, toma, right there, you know, big dick style, dog, like, yo, we're here, toma, you know, like, yeah, we're here to
and
do this.
The horns. Already.
I know, it sounds so vulgar, but that's just the only other way I can.
Dorian's got me ready to pick up a trumpet. a cowbell or something.
Oh, bro, don't even go in a cowbell, bro.
I'm here
for I know with experience. If you're going to go cowbell, everybody be talking this shit about this cowbell, but nah, the cowbell is...
It be carrying the rhythm sometimes.
And you can't hide it. Mm-hmm. You could fuck up on the conga. You could fuck up on
the
bongo.
I need one of those.
You
can
fuck up even
mask.
On the horn. You could go and then get back on. But you can't fuck up on the cowbell. Everybody knows if you're off beat, bro. Yeah. Everybody will be like, and if you don't start on the right timing,
you're off.
You're off. Everybody's like, this
yeah, because that carries the rhythm. Like, it depends on if you're in that, and that happens to me when I sing with my band sometimes.
Yeah,
and I don't have to sing a song. Sometimes I go to the timbal part and I just hit like the cowbell, and it's like,
And even the timbalero could kind of hide it.
Yeah, sometimes like I just get caught up when, because I can't sing and play at the same time. I don't have that talent. Yeah. And so when I sing, I have to stop the cowbell, and then I see the guys in the back like, Janina, you're fucking us up. Just stop.
So I take it back. My biggest takeaway from this episode will be you can't fuck up the cowbell.
No.
Cannot. Got it. Absolutely. There is no fucking up of the cowbell.
Yeah.
All right. I wanna go to Freddie real quick, because we haven't heard much of Freddie outside of his introduction.
Now, Freddie
right?
can dance now, y'all.
No, what's Freddie's Spanish? What's your Latino name?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Federico.
Federico.
Federico. Oye, Federico.
I want to hear from you. What was, can you recall your first conscious exposure to salsa music?
I mean, growing up in Florida, you can't escape it, in my opinion. But in school, I went to Douglas Anderson, shout out to DA. We had to take a jazz history course in school. And that was probably my first real exposure to salsa or Latin music in general. I didn't grow up hearing it. I mean, you know, like the pop stuff, like the Enrique Iglesias and all that stuff. I knew that, but the real salsa music, like what y'all speaking on today, I didn't learn that until I took that course.
And I mean, we've gone on record a few times saying that, you know, you have one of the more versatile records out of all of us on the Next Spin crew. What is salsa looking like in your collection?
Right now, I will say that Janito is one of the biggest inspirations for my salsa collection, because she educates me on what I should buy. Like, even when we set up and went to Poppy Discos, and Poppy obviously was a big help as well. But Poppy gets lost and he starts playing the conga.
I know, man. I apologize. Just like if just in this conversation, I get lost, bro. Nerd out.
Where did Dorian go? Oh, he's mixing the song he just made.
He had the DJ set up. And everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. I get excited, bro. I get excited. I love what I do.
I was like, we went there to buy records. We ended up partying. But
there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Not that's wrong. Exactly.
We had a great time.
What we call a vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Well said. Yeah. Well, then, you know, I think it's probably a good transition to talk about some of the records that we brought. Because I want to get to the dancing here in a sec with my two left feet.
I ain't never seen you dance that salsa butter.
Because I can't. That's why. Federico, what records did you bring today? And we'll go around the table that way.
I feel like I was, you know, I'm still, I'd say, a beginner level on learning what salsa should be and what I should be listening to. So mine are probably more deeply in the jazz elements of salsa, which I love. But I brought the, excuse me if I pronounce these wrong. Don't judge me. The Buena Vista Social
Buena
Club
Vista, yeah.
At Carnegie Hall. This is the live set. Okay. And I wanted the original, but I like the solos on the live version. This came out in 1997. And if in my nose, you can correct me on that, but I'm pretty sure. I looked it up, but I'm trying to remember.
All good.
1997.
Okay.
And also brought Fruco El Grande.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Colombian salsa.
Show us the cover salsa, so that way Tony can get some photos of these.
Yeah, that's a dope record.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, if you can't tell, this is from the 70s.
Yeah. Frugo's a dude in the middle.
Chest hair all out.
Yeah.
Joe Arroyo's a guy on the right.
Belt buckles on the shirts, yeah.
And I will say this, like, salsa is one of the first genres I would want, and this is my opinion, that really did not care about colorism. Like, you know, like, you will see more Afro-Latinos in the salsa world than anything. Like, you really, they really dominate.
What about Panamanians? Even Panamanians?
There's no random white people on these covers. Like the soul records back in the day, yeah, to throw some, you know. And the last joint I brought with is Jerry Rivera.
Oh, Jerry Rivera, the king, he's the king of the romantic.
Yeah, the romantic, yeah. Salsa.
Oh, yeah, straight out of the 90s.
Listen,
baby,
he still looks good as hell now. He can still get it. He is
straight
fine.
Out of the
90s. And he can get it in that suit, baby.
What year did this come out?
Pads
this
and all. 90s.
Wait, what, 90s?
Yeah, he was
look
in 90s.
Look at those shoulder pads on that
I can
thing.
Tell because not only the tie, but these random, like, the, color beams. Yeah, it's very
futuristic. Yeah. And, he's known as El Nene de la Salsa because he had the baby face in the salsa. And he started as a baby, really.
This is definitely more like the pop salsa.
Mm-hmm.
I only bought this joint because of one of the singles on this album is from the.
They've sampled that so many times.
Everybody has sampled that.
Yep.
Well, that was Wyclef, right? That did it for Shakira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And also the rapper from Peter Guns?
Yes.
Yeah. If it wasn't from New York, this rap shit probably wouldn't be going on. She told me, where you from?
Baby.
Uptown,
baby. Oh, Tom, baby.
I swear to God.
Yeah.
Dang. Yaya is shining this episode. She just dropped a rap on a random Corey Guns song. What? Come on, man.
Well, because, again, salsa also influenced hip-hop.
First lady of podcasting. Like. I like it.
So.
I'm actually...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I also brought Janita's birth... I mean, no, birthday. Christmas gift.
Oh, wow.
It's fucking February. I probably bought Christmas gift.
Good, because I bought Tony's Christmas gift, and it still hasn't came in, friend. Sorry. It is a vinyl.
Good stuff. All right, I'm actually going to, while we got the mic over here, let's go to Adrian. Adrian, what records did you bring?
I bet. So I need to apologize first and foremost for my Panamanian brethren that are listening to me who may be expecting me to hold it down.
It's okay.
I am definitely.
Yo, DJ
y'all Clu- invented reggaeton, okay? Reggaeton came from the Panamanian.
If you better come correct on that one.
Right.
Next, yeah. The next
that's
show.
Good, that's a good call, Poppy.
Yeah,
I like that
one. Yeah, you would have to. Yeah.
All right, bet. So, thanks to Poppy Disco actually and Janita at the same time consulting me when we were at the vinyl fair. I ended up getting Gilberto Santa Rosa's record, La Perspectiva, I think is what it's called. Yeah, so I'm gonna play a record off of this one. Yeah,
and what year did this one come out?
This is 1991, if I'm not mistaken, is when this record dropped.
Good stuff,
and then. My guy Botter hooked me up when he was out in Vegas,
hey.
doing some vinyl digging.
Shout out to Moondog Records.
Some excavation. I like that term. You use excavation today. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna use that.
Yeah. Vinyl archaeologist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a nice cover.
So this is not salsa, but this is Bossa Nova, which is like. Not it, listen, it's Latin themed, right? So that's
whole other genre.
I cannot believe we've named all these subgenres and influences, and of course, bossa nova, the one that you was like aiming towards, isn't a part of it.
Come on, son, but it's all good, you know. That's why I brought it. So, you know, Stan Getz and I think Joao Gilberto are the guy, and the album is called Getz Gilberto. It's got Girl from Ipanema on it. It's got a whole bunch of like Corcovadas, which is the track I'm gonna play.
Okay.
I love this record. That's why I wanted you to get it, because I listen to it all the time.
That's good stuff.
So this is 1964 is when this one dropped. So it's like the year my dad was born.
Okay.
Aw.
Yeah. And then, bro, I brought this record, Mango Santa Maria's Greatest Hits. I brought it just in case I was like floundering and they would give me a lot of shit for bringing it. Because I brought Cultura Profética.
Which is great.
I was only gonna play.
So we're getting closer. We're getting closer.
I'm getting closer. So appreciate you, bro. And so since this song changed your life, I'm gonna play Cloud Nine off of this one,
bro. Good, such
because
dope.
You brought it up. So thank you, bro.
Kind of serendipitous. I feel like you get a pass now. I mean,
yeah, you know what I mean.
He's playing the song that you said saved your life. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. Dude, so I think 1970 is when this one dropped. So.
Yeah, I think it's from like 72. That particular track, but
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, Mongo's dope.
Good stuff, Adrian. Hey, we're gonna go to you.
I'm trying to look for the year on this one. It's, I can't find
here,
it.
Here, you want to look? Actually, and tell us what record did Freddie end up getting you?
Oh, yeah. The record that Federico
sorry.
Was Bobo Motion, Willy Bobo.
Mm. Oh, man,
so
I need
excited.
That.
Willy Bobo. Uh-huh. I'm excited. We're going to play this later.
You know, his
sure.
son is in Cypress Hill.
Really? Uh-huh.
Did not know
his
that.
Name is Bobo. He's the percussionist of Cypress Hill.
Wow, look
I guess
at that.
We should not be surprised.
That is awesome. Yeah,
cool guy. I met him at Casa Monica a couple years back when they had a show at the amphitheater.
Damn.
Yep.
Well, I'm gonna go off with the order of like the genres. I guess the order that my vinyls came out. Obviously, Tito Rodriguez, who is one of the most well-known salsa orchestra leaders. Again, he was Tito Puente's rival. Puerto Rican. His mom was Cuban and his dad was Dominican, but he was born and raised in Puerto Rico. So I found that really interesting. He moved to New York to go live with his brother Johnny and then started working in the same club as Tito Puente. Started off with different bands until he finally decided to have his own, like Tito Rodriguez and La Orquesta. Some of his favorite, most well-known songs, you guys probably know, Cuando, Cara de Payaso. I love it. I brought him in. His style is like 1940s, 1950s, obviously. He died in 1973 of leukemia. So he died pretty young. He was 50 years old when he died. And then Rey Barreto, Rey Barreto, which is titled Rey Barreto. And I love this cover because it like he's hitting his conga and he's so in the groove. Like he's like all
poppy,
sweaty.
He shaved, you know?
He's
I
all,
recognize
yeah.
that record.
He's all sweaty. Like his pillow power hair is out on his chest. And you can just kind of feel the energy on that cover. And the picture that you see on this cover is exactly what you're getting in this record, in this vinyl. Like this is high intensity salsa. Like this is the kind of music that if you want to wake up and like for energy, definitely put on Rey Barreto's album. And one of his favorite, I mean, he has so many big hits on here. This is a two-piece vinyl record, but one of his most famous is Watusi, and it's because it came out in a movie, and that song came out in 1965. And so Rey Barreto is obviously one of the most well-known in the salsa world. He really influenced, he really mixed funk and jazz with salsa. He's one of the first ones to do that. And then eventually at the end of his career, he kind of just got tired of doing salsa and started doing Latin jazz at the end of his career. And he has a lot of Latin jazz albums that you can look. And then La Fania. La Fania came out in the 70s. Which they're my favorite because they just mix everything. They mix hip hop, funk, and jazz. They have English songs like Spanish Fever.
And that's the name of that album, too.
Yeah. Right. This is the name of the album, Spanish Fever. I think I gave you a Fania record, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know which one I gave you, though.
That's very disco-y.
Yeah. That was a disco era for sure.
Yeah. And so you can hear the disco influence on this, too. And, you know, Ruben Blades came out with La Fania. Hector Lavoz came out from La Fania. Willy Colón came from La Fania. Like, a lot of them came out from La Fania. Johnny Pacheco was almost always the producer of it. Israel Miranda is on here, too. So they always had, like, special artists come out on the album. And La Fania, again, was the one that kind of made Sai Sai really international. They were the first one to take it to Africa. They had a concert in Africa, a huge Sai Sai concert in Africa. They brought Celia Cruz with them. And they were like kind of the first ones to take it international, to the point where even China, people don't know, in China, China keeps Sai Sai alive. There's actually full-on Chinese Sai Sai orchestra and bands.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes, I remember, especially when we lived in Panama, because in Panama, there's a lot of Chinese. Like, man, you'll be... It's so funny to see, like, a straight-up Chinese person and then speak with Panamanian Spanish. Like, pure Panamanian. I'm like... It was eye-opening for me.
I had that instance in when we went to Peru.
Yeah.
And like for them to speak fluent Peruvian and Spanish, it was like, damn. Okay.
But yeah, so in China, like in Japan too, there's a lot of salsa clubs out there too. So shout out to my Asians for keeping it alive. And those are the three that I brought. And then I have, I brought LPT as their honorary because they're obviously keeping it alive. But I know Papi Disco's bringing them, so.
All right. Dorian, will you do us the honors of sharing? You brought a whole stack, which I respect.
Bro.
And I know I gave you the impossible task, especially for you, to just pick three to highlight for this episode.
I know, it's hard.
What did you arrive at?
But, all right, so I brought the past, present, and future. But I don't have a one in particular that I like that's favorite. But I had to bust this out because I always have it in my crate. It's called Hector's Gold. It's Hector Lavoe. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I have the tracks that I play like by the BPM, by the beats per minute. This one has like Periódico de Ayer, Comedia, El Cantante, El Todopoderoso, Hacha y Machete. I mean, it has like, there's so many, there's like four or five tracks that are killer. Anytime, whether it's for the salsa dura crowd, whether it's for the jazzier crowd, whether it's for the old schoolers, this is like, and it's rare too. Like, you don't really see many of these out there. So I had to bring this out because it always stays in the crate.
And by the way, Rubén Blades wrote El Cantante for Hector Lavoe.
Yeah, because they were working with Willie Colon. But, and it's poetry too. And he's like a people person. I really dig Hector's. He had a lot of pain, you know, he was into drugs.
A lot of demons.
Yeah, he had issues and stuff.
His mom died when he was young, and like that really affected him.
And he always, but he was always like a people person. La gente, like the people, el pueblo, would always be like cheering him on. And I feel like I relate to that. I relate to, you know, those songs, you know, singing El Todopoderoso is talking about God. Like, yeah, that's crazy, you know.
Es el Señor.
He's talking about God.
And he was a santero too. Like, Aguanile is a Santeria song, and people don't even know. Like, they're really singing like Santeria, and people are like, Aguanile.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because like, yeah, all of that has an Afro influence, you know, Yoruba, you know, kind of vibes. But yeah, like that's one of my favorites right there. Also, the next one is this one. I pride myself on this one. This was from Salso Records. Salso was known more for like their disco kind of stuff, but they also had a lot of it was started from an album called Salso from Joe Batán on Fania. So when he defected from me, started that label, then he sold it, and I don't know. But this record is called Concepts in Unity, and it's by a group called Grupo Folklórico y Experimental Nuevo Yorkino. So this is like a rare cut, and it's a rare record because on this one, it brings in all of these salsa musicians and jazz musicians that were from the salsa scene are on it, where they were. This is the first record to introduce like bata, the bata drum to a salsa song, which is bata is like itolele or concolo. They're like these three drums that they use for like Yoruba, Santeria, Babalao practices in Cuba and stuff. And so there is, I think there's
That's
a
so
picture.
Dope. I love that.
Yes, it's right there. See? Mm-hmm. So this record was one of the first ones to incorporate bata drums. It also had Virgilio Martí from Cuba, old school Cuban guys in it. It had these guys, brothers Jerry and Andy Gonzalez that passed away recently on the grooves. And And everything about this record, like if you even find YouTube video clips of this, it's like very Gil Scott Heron, 70s New York, fire hydrants, people dancing a salsa on the street, and it's hot as fuck, and like, you know what I'm saying? Just, and it's grimy, and New York's all falling apart and shit. And like, this record is from that time, and it represents it. So if anybody, there's a song, it's called, that I love, Anabacoa. But it's funny because my fiance Grace, she calls it barbacoa. It's like a meat, but it's really Anabacoa, which I believe is like a town in Cuba or something. But and there's a part of it that says arroz con picadillo yuca, arroz con picadillo yuca yuca yuca, and they made a part of the song, and where they're feeling the song, and they start talking about rice. And yuca and
cassava,
and yeah, which is cassava, and like to me that was crazy. I had never heard music or a lyric with food.
With
picadillo was like the ground beef with the sofrito, yeah. And like I love that shit, bro. I could eat that. I make that like for a whole week's worth, bro.
I'm not gonna say salsa loves to talk about food.
Yeah.
I don't know why?
Yeah, well, because it's called salsa. It's like salsa. Put on the food.
Literally, like every artist has a song that has to do with food.
It's like look, I'm make you dance, and I'm gonna make you
hungry.
I feel like that's, but you know what though? That's a representation of sofrito. I don't know if you know about it. Has onions, tomato. Garlic, cilantro, black pepper,
green pepper,
it's
red
the
pepper.
Same with the music, bro. It's the same with the music. Every single instrument is a vegetable. And when you all cook it together, when we're all vibing, when the campana is coming in and we're all doing what they call la moña, which is like horns going this way, horns going that way, rhythms going this way, and you know, you'll hear it, man. Anabacoa, and he's like singing the song. That is like the full on like dish, and you're like
chupándote los dedos, and
yeah, picadillo and the rice, and it's the same with the music, man. When it's cooked well,
that heat in there, yeah,
it's like delicious. You can't even, yeah, bro.
That was great.
So, yeah, that's for real, disco. For real. All
right, I think we found our sound clip.
And I'm torn between these two. Well, I mean, I really like this one too.
We're gonna be playing a lot of Fania All Stars tonight.
All Stars, but this is another rarity. It's Bamboleo, which is a lot of people know it for the Gypsy Kings, but this one has Celia Cruz singing it. And I always play it. It never leaves my crate. You know, I don't care. So I don't care if the music is popular or not. If it's dope, I play it. That's what makes me different to a lot of my other peers. Some of the other guys, they'll just play whatever's on their top. Oh, there's the top songs, everybody knows them. Well, I want to play something that everybody knows that you might have never heard. And so this is one of them. And it has a Smooth Operator done salsa too.
Ooh.
Oh, for my Sade.
His favorite.
My favorite neo solo.
It has a Don't You Worry About a Thing, ooh, baby. Done salsa don't you too. Worry about so, a you know, it's one of those things that it's just has versions of songs that are salsa that you never heard. And the honorary LPT Sin Parar. This is also the future. These are, you know, these are 10 guys plus like Henderson and Ray and, you know, just the whole fam that we're here in Florida, here in Jacksonville, representing for the Salseros out there and to inspire, you know what I'm saying, and help inspire others to keep it going and to like know that there is a bunch of guys that want to play this music and we want to play it like how it's done, like on, you know,
real instruments.
For real, for real. Y sudando and sweating and, I mean, I've bled, bro. Look, I got one right here from my bongo. I cut my hand right there in el dedo grande.
Get this man a Band-Aid right now.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, man, Band-Aid. I covered that shit with blood, bro. Todo santero, babalao, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm for real. But yeah, you know, and I'm not trying to be biased or nothing. I'm just saying, and then there's other guys. Salsa Orquesta La Excelencia, Orquesta Macabeo, Biorritmo. I mean, there's a scene out there. They're just on smaller labels, but they're out there. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't you put out a, Manteca
remix? Oh, the Manteca remix, which is also right? What we use. Yeah, I got it right
and
here.
And you got it on wax, too. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
it's on 45, so.
Hey.
And it's cool because that wasn't nothing to, like, no one hired me for it or nothing. So I play dance music, and my goal sometimes is to inspire my fellow house heads, or whatever you want to call them, and people in dance music community to bring in musicality to what we do. I don't want just people, oh, that techno, boom, sh, boom, sh, boom, sh, and then that's it. It's like, no, how can we like bridge gaps and still keep it local? How to, you know? So I made a track for a live stream a couple years back. It was like 2 years ago. This whole COVID started, like, it was all fucked up. And I got invited to do a live stream, and I wanted to represent Jacksonville, but I wanted to also represent what I've been involved in in a way that was in a dance format. So I made this remix just out of pure love, you know, just took me like a month of every day driving my lady crazy fucking listening to that shit over and over again because I had nothing else to do but sell records and smoke weed and listen to this shit. And so I was just like, hold my PO didn't hear me. I got this, you know, I finished it and I called it the Manteca remix because Manteca, which is also an Afro-Cuban song. Quiere manteca, dun, 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 dun. But Manteca's lard, right? And we use it in food. Like, we use it to cook. I mean, you know, like...
When
you make chicharron or bacon, you get the manteca. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have oil, you just throw that shit on there on a pan with some sofrito. And you do some broth. You make a soup. You get some un pollito. You shred it. Boom, you got chicken soup, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't... Yeah, with the bones and everything.
I've ever been... They're recording. Like, yo. Duh. I want some food right now. Bro,
I feel like that.
Damn,
I usually
do. Done for y'all. I should have made y'all some like Latin food on my bed.
It's okay. So I appreciate you guys letting me talk about my thing.
No, dude.
Thank you for doing it.
Oh, it was on Billboard Magazine, by the way.
Hey. Yes, it was.
Yeah, snap for that.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like charted or no shit like that, but they talked about it.
Yeah, they
like,
did. Hey,
it
that's
was
awesome.
Like the top picks. In the U.S. for like that week, and it came out, and I was like, I'm still super proud of it because
as you should be.
I was like, shit, you know, Jacksonville,
damn right,
piece, and then the poppy disco. They called it Latin disco, so I think I'm on some new shit because it's 116 beats per minute. It's not 120, where it's considered dance music. Mm. Disco is more 115, 116. All I did was just slow these motherfuckers going so fast, man. That shit was like a 140 hauling ass. And I'm like, wait a minute. So on Ableton, I slowed it down. I chopped it. I threw a bongo solo in it. And I just gave my interpretation of what I heard, how I can manifest. Because in dance music, you know, it's the musicality. You can't get too musical with it. Then you'll get lost. You know what I'm saying? Then you might lose, you know, your crowd that you're playing to or whatever. So it's out there still. Shout out to Peace and Rhythm, a label from Boston, Studebaker Hawk and Bongo Head. They have a vinyl subscription service called The Drop, where if you get a subscription per year, they get 2 7-inch records of whatever they select. And they send it out to to the subscribers.
Damn, I gotta join that.
And so they copped a bunch of these 45 of the LPT remix,
and that's part of the.
And we're part of it, so cool. We're representing Jax.
That's what's up,
in the sense of like dance music for the Salseros, for the underground, like, you know. And I don't want it to be underground. I want it to be overground. I want it to be like commercialized and out there, right? Because it deserves it. It's good music, but. Like I said, you know, it's if it's not out in the clubs, if it's not a big single, then, you know. But, yeah, we're just, you know, here fighting the good fight, bro.
You make us proud, Dorian.
Damn right. Thank you. Now, yeah, I want to know what you're
wearing.
Right.
So, first and foremost.
Biden want to show us.
Yeah.
Hey. All right,
first and foremost is, like I said, we've been playing Find Your All-Stars all night. This first one is Rhythm Nation from 1977. This record was gifted to me by our very own Yaya for, I think, my birthday 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about receiving this gift, it wasn't just, hey, here's your present. I know you like records. Enjoy. She gave me a full history lesson. She actually pulled up in her car, dropped it off, and gave me a full history lesson from the window of her car, which was great. I was like, wow, this is a lot of information.
History lesson? That's what's up. Yeah.
Well, because I wanted him to understand and why I chose that record for him.
And I went home and I put it on and I was just blown away, especially with the context. It was like, wow, this is fantastic. And this is well before I learned that, like, Fania about, and this was also, I'm sorry, this was also my introduction to the Fania All-Stars record, or the Fania record label, which I ended up learning, you know, they put out a lot of the top salsa records, recordings, and they're considered like the touchstone in the history of salsa. And there's a really great article, I forget what website put it out, but it should be easy to Google, but I typed in salsa record sampled by hip hop, and this list had like, actually it was an article dedicated to the top hip hop samples, samples from Fania records. And I mean, some of the stuff on there was fantastic. So my first record is Fania All Stars Rhythm Nation.
Actually, I bought that when we went to DA Bobby Disco's house. So it's
full circle. Wow. It really is full circle. That's dope.
And then speaking of that article, because it put me onto a whole bunch of other Fania records, my next one is called Fania All-Stars Delicate and Jumpy, which came out a year prior to Rhythm Nation. So 1976. I think you brought it up. Like, I think around this time it was more like, you know, Latin jazz, more like that jazz influence and soul stuff. So not so much, I guess, like big band style as much as it's like kind of slower, a little slower jazz. But Dorian actually beat me to my third pick, which was that LPT record. Parar,
oh man,
which came out in 2020.
Mine was just an honorary one. See, that's when you're top.
Yeah, you're right. Here's the thing, right? So you guys have already given them the praise they deserve that I probably couldn't do it justice. We're talking about a 10-piece orchestra based out of here in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, at that. And I think it's safe to say, I think we will all like back this, but every show that they put on, you know, they sell out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're like, damn, they're playing again this week? No way that they're still selling out in this hot. And it's like, no. Motherfuckers want to see these guys perform, and for good reason. I want to say I've seen them perform, but I feel like I would remember had I seen them perform, right?
We just played two Fridays ago at Underbelly.
You went on my festival that Sunday?
I don't think I came. No, I came for that Saturday. Saturday. And I had missed it because I had to record for a short box.
Yeah.
So LBT is still, you know, I have to slap myself for this, but they're still on my list to go see. And I know I'm going to have a good time when I see them. But I ended up buying the record when it came out 2 years ago to support, because I knew it was like, yo, this is good music. You know, they're always, you know, involved with Viva La Fiesta. So I ended up buying the record. I thought it'd be appropriate to bring tonight. So
now I do. I want to shout out someone who is also doing an amazing job keeping the genre alive and doing amazing mixes. My good friend Ed Bless, look him up on Instagram, ELBLES, El Bless. He is getting these old school salsa records and mixing it with hip hop records, and like not, and this, and there's this new hip hop artist, his name is Nico, he's Brazilian, and they're working together, and he's actually signed with Dave Chappelle or something like that. I don't know why. It's weird.
Oh, that's cool. What's up.
But Bless is look him up. He's an amazing producer. I think I sent him your Instagram one time.
Yeah. It's
and
like
he's getting like the Willy Colon songs and mixing it with like making his own beats. And so shout out to Ed Bless. If you guys are looking for someone that produces music or just want to get into salsa in a different kind of way, he's doing an amazing job. And his dad was a violin, one of the violinists for La Fania. He's also played for a lot of salsa. And his grandmother and grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, they were like famous bolero singers. So he comes from a musical family. And his mom was a music teacher. So shout out to Ed Bless. He's in Orlando right now, but he's making moves and he is trying to keep the genre alive by mixing it with hip hop and funk. And so that's someone, if you guys are trying to get into or just trying to look him up on Instagram, Ed Bless.
Future. That's awesome. Music.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And Spinheads, I want to go ahead and say we'll probably have a photo collage of all of these records that we just talked about and shared that we playing tonight. Tony does a good job of posting those on Instagram. But I want to go ahead and say, there you have it, Spinheads. We introduce you to DJ Poppy Disco.
probably a reintroduction for some of you listening, but we hope you learned something new about salsa and enjoyed the dialogue. On behalf of the Nexpin crew, I'd like to ask you for a small favor that would mean a lot in helping us grow the show. Go tell your friends and their friends about this episode and share this podcast with your favorite music lover or vinyl aficionado. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so we can get the word out to other people. Thank you in advance. I want to thank my co-hosts today, Adrian, Freddie, Yaya, and Tony, who was snapping pictures the whole time.
Federico.
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 Oye, mi hermano.
And of course, Tony, who's been lurking in the background, snapping pics and taking videos throughout this recording, which you can see posted on our Instagram later at Nexpin. But last and definitely not least, I want to go ahead and thank, and let's give him a round of snaps for sure. I want to thank our special guest of honor, DJ Poppy Disco. You have been fantastic,
hey,
man.
Thank you. You have well exceeded
what I thought you were going to do for this show. I mean, I knew that Yaya only was hyping you up for the best of reasons, but man, you have dropped some gems today.
Thank you all for having me. It's nice, you know, to find a community that supports this, whether it's through vinyl or, you know, just the music itself, you know what I'm saying, in Jacksonville. Because for the longest time, you know, it's been uphill battle, but I really like the growth, and y'all are part of the growth of what's happening here in the town. So
we appreciate it.
Thank you guys. I appreciate y'all.
Spinheads, I'll have some links to Dorian's SoundCloud, as well as social media stuff, as well as a link to the Wax and Whiskey event
every
going
Wednesday.
On every Wednesday,
right.
at Head Room
Bring your records,
Coffee
sign
Bar.
Up, 30 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's right.
But that's it for our show today, Spinheads. Take care of yourselves, treat yourself to some good music, and come back next month for the next spin. We'll have another installment of our interview episodes posted in the coming weeks. Till then, yo, peace, and may your days be filled with good tunes.
Bye. Salsa!
Peace.
Vaya!